Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I am Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
And today we're talking about Da Bears.
I mean,
just kidding, because they're not going to make the Super Bowl. Oh. We are recording this before the Super Bowl. There are currently a couple of teams left. Mm-hmm. Six to be exact. Nope.
I don't know.
Eight to be exact. Eight teams left. There will be four remaining after this weekend. By the time this episode's out, it'll likely be Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week.
And so we're going to talk about the Super Bowl, commercials, football in general, and sports betting.
Yes.
Sports betting, not for kids.
Yeah.
But we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, because this feels like a weird thing to have. We had a whole talk about fantasy football before with our friend Andy Holloway from the Fantasy Footballers podcast. But the sports gambling thing feels like it really ramped up in the last couple of years. And so it deserves a conversation.
It does. So where are we starting? Do you want to start with that or end with sports betting?
You know, I think the Super Bowl in general is a good place to start. And then the bigger conversation is the sports betting, I think.
So Super Bowl, couple of things just about it, right? You've got, it is one of, if not the most watched event. I think it is the most watched event every year. Yeah. I don't know that it's the most watched thing, right? Could be a show out there.
Worldwide, or a movie or whatever. The World Cup is probably going to take it.
Which is this summer.
Yeah.
Can't wait. USA, by the way, home field advantage and a group drawing that is very, very enticing. They have a chance to get out of the group and then it's anyone's game.
Not
can't wait for the World Cup.
The year that Benedict was elected Pope, Germany won. The year that Francis was elected Pope, Argentina won. Ergo, vis-a-vis, ipso fatso, you should expect a USA victory.
I would go crazy.
I know.
Played soccer my whole life, huge soccer fan. And I can't get in.
That's true.
I can't get into Premier League. I can't get into the MLS, but I love the World Cup. Men's and women's. I will watch every single USA game.
Huge Minnesota Loons fan.
It's also about to be the Olympics.
They don't exist.
Winter Olympics.
Really?
Yeah. Hockey, going to be a must watch. Everything else, eh.
I'm the only person on earth who doesn't care about
You should care Olympics. About hockey and curling for the Winter Olympics.
Oh, I am. I'm a New Jersey Devils fan.
There you go.
Yeah.
But half the team will play, like everybody on that team will play for different countries.
Yeah. Mm. I get it.
So the Super Bowl, huge event. Very controversial halftime shows in the last few years. Always interesting to see what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then you've got the commercials as well. And it stinks because this is my thing for football in general. To me, and we'll talk about this a little bit more with the sports betting as well towards the end of this episode. Football to me and sport and hockey and basketball, like the big four sports, baseball, they are for kids. They're for kids to watch. They like it's fun. There's nothing that you're going to see on the field barring some awful injury, which they usually are good about not showing replays of, but sometimes do. It is something that the whole family should be able to gather around, not worry about what commercials are going to be on the TV, not worry about some inappropriate halftime show, just enjoy sports. But a lot of things have worked their way into football and other sports. The Super Bowl in particular, I remember one year, the halftime show, I believe it was it J-Lo?
The J-Lo Shakira halftime show lives rent-free in my head.
Yeah, I tweeted about it and tweeted how like it sucks that I have to have my kids go away for the halftime show and can't watch it as a family because they have stripper poles on the stage. Mm-hmm. And I was told that I was being culturally insensitive because that is how they dance in other cultures.
That is exactly what I was told as well, which was very, very frustrating for me because like the statement came from somebody who I knew well and who was like dear to me and who knew like who I am, that I'm not and I'm married to a Mexican person. So like this whole thing was bizarre to me to be called a racially insensitive over that. But not only that, I lived in Southern Arizona most of my life. I've seen traditional dances from Latin America. I went to the Camp 6, which is the missionary festival. There's a lot of ethnic dancing that happens from Central and South America at that particular area or at that particular conference. No, that is not traditional dance of any Latin American culture. Sorry to break it to you. There's a lot of fluffy skirts involved in traditional Latin dance, but not that. So yeah, I hated that. That was my least favorite thing.
It all kind of started with the whole Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson fiasco.
Yes.
Years back.
2003.
But let's look at the last few Super Bowl halftime shows. So you have The Weeknd in 2021 with Jay-Z was there, I believe, where he put it on. I don't remember that one too much. Then you've got the Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar. That one was actually way more appropriate than I thought it was going to be.
The Kendrick Lamar thing from last year, everybody seemed to make it.
I'm talking about the one from 2022 where he made an appearance but was not the main headliner. That was Eminem and Snoop Dogg. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Okay.
And like I was expecting it to be way worse than the J-Lo one, and it really wasn't. No. Like most of the time they had their clothes on. Then there was Rihanna, and I don't really remember that one. Maybe that was the year I didn't watch. Then Usher, then Kendrick Lamar was last year, and this year it will be Bad Bunny, who I had not heard of.
Me either.
And I don't live under a rock, but he is one of the biggest artists in the world.
And we'll see. Yeah,
we'll see.
He has a very large following. The trouble with the most recent, like I feel like after the J-Lo Shakira thing, there was a lot of criticism there that I feel like was extremely well deserved. Not even just because of the dance moves themselves, but because of the camera angles.
Yeah.
Like they took a very upskirt, intentional filming from below up toward women's lady parts. That was an intentional thing to do. It wasn't just the style of dancing. It wasn't just the scantily clad outfits. It wasn't just that. It was the way they filmed it that made it so much worse. And I think they took that criticism and have moved from it. But now we're seeing more of a politics-based concern when it comes to halftime shows. And that was a lot of what came up last year with Kendrick Lamar, which was odd because on the surface, it seemed pretty, you know, it was everybody was well covered. There were some American flags represented. Everything looked kind of fine. People were like, oh, that was ironic. They were supposed to take on the surface. No kid would have ever walked away with that. And nobody looking super deep would have thought it was anything other than just a normal, you know, America guy on the stage.
Yeah, I was actually super pumped last year because the whole thing leading up to it was Kendrick Lamar and Drake got into a huge beef and they were writing rap songs about each other and diss tracks. And Kendrick Lamar had some crazy things to say, accusations at Drake, and the whole thing was, is he going to say it on TV?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, no, he can't, he'll get sued. There was all these rumors flying around, and he did, and it was funny. And so that was interesting, and that's why I watched last year.
Yeah.
But for me as a parent, I'm at the point where I, like, it's just time to have the kids go do something for halftime and then come back up.
Yeah.
I'm also not super in love with the halftime shows recently, and so I don't care.
Yeah.
I will let you know, Corey Asbury and the guy that the white guy that everyone loves right now. Yeah, the Reckless Love guy.
Okay.
So he's a buddy of mine. We played Fortnite together and stuff.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That song was my alarm song for 10 years.
He streams and stuff. He actually has, he kind of left worship music and started doing some solo stuff. His solo stuff's really, really good.
Cool.
And openly talks about his like journey back to faith and is now back like in a great relationship with Jesus and making Christian music again.
Oh, I love to hear that.
And he actually walked away from like a really good record deal in order to go back to worship. So he's like back all in. And Forrest Frank is like the number one Christian artist right now in the world. I had no idea. He's very good. And they've become buddies. They had some beef on TikTok and then they became buddies. They are doing a Christian alternative halftime show this year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so I don't know where to find it, but if you just Google halftime show, Corey Asbury, Forrest Frank, you can put that on the TV and hear some cool Christian songs and it should be pretty fun. But otherwise, like I'm over letting my kids watch the halftime show for now. My kids are very young, 10, 9, 5, and 10 months old. So we will be avoiding the halftime show as a family.
I have not really enjoyed the halftime show in years. I think it was like middle school the last time I was like, yeah, this is awesome. No, I haven't been offended by all of them. It's just not my thing. I'm not really huge into a lot of music, so it doesn't really bother me. I'm a Puppy Bowl girl myself, which is always a halftime thing. Like you just switch channels, you watch the Puppy Bowl, you're good. Like way better for me.
I'm pretty sure the Puppy Bowl is like 8 hours. I think they have it on. They have it on all day long before the game. And then I think they have like a halftime show.
Okay, well, the halftime show Puppy Bowl is what I usually watch. So Amazing. There you go. You just switch it over. The commercials can be kind of hit or miss, but.
So I have been all in on Super Bowl commercials my whole life. Like I think there's some of the funniest commercials ever. There was one I'll never forget where these cows like stole, I think it was like Coca-Cola, who knows? They like stole some stuff from a gas station and the two gas station employees are accusing each other of who's like stealing all the stuff. And then the cows like are the ones who are doing it. And then there's these two guys who are like looking over the field and there's a fat officer, a police officer, because he's investigating it. And then the skinny one and the cow looks at the other cow and goes, I think the fat one knows. And my brothers and I mean, we must have been in middle school, we were cry laughing. I think the fat one knows for like a decade after that. I love Super Bowl commercials, but they're hit or miss on whether or not they're family friendly. Now you have a ton of political ones. And there's, listen, I'm going to say it. You could tell me I'm wrong.
Have you seen
the breast cancer awareness commercials lately?
No.
They're women in bras and underwear. And like the commercial starts with like, these are my breasts, like they're mine. And then the whole, it's like a 45 second thing of a bunch of women like talking about the importance of checking for breast cancer, all for breast cancer awareness. Mm-hmm. Don't think that needs to be on a noon, 3:30 or 7 p.m. game when my kids are watching.
I don't know how I feel about that, because I tend to like, I would like to reserve the right to disagree with myself later, but like just thinking about it, like cancer, breastfeeding, these kinds of things, these are not sexual things, and to make them sexual,
but then they make them sexual in the commercial. That's what I'm saying. They're like in their bras.
Okay. Well, being in your bra is just,
it's the same as a bikini.
Right.
Right. Which shouldn't be on it shouldn't have a ton of that stuff on commercials where kids are watching.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, because I take my kids to the pool and I have a two-piece swimsuit, so it doesn't bother me. But like, if it's not overtly sexual, that doesn't really bother me. There are things way more sexual than breast cancer that are going to be on there. So
yeah, but it's just a weird commercial. It's just, you know, you should be able to watch a game without having to be like, I have to have a whole conversation with my child now about this.
Yeah, this is one of those things that Pope Francis talked about it once upon a time, where he was like, for whatever reason, the Western imagination when it comes to sin just stops at the waist. Like, for whatever reason, we only want to think about waist down sins, whether or not it's a sexual sin, instead of thinking about, you know, these banks that are advertising, is this usury, these AI things that are coming up, is this something that's a bigger issue there? So I tend to worry that we focus too much on sexual sin instead of like looking at things in context. For example, like midriff tops really freak everybody out in the Catholic community, and maybe within our cultural context it makes sense, but like I spent time in India and every old lady on earth had her entire belly out and it was deeply unsexual, but showing your legs was a problem in that culture. So like being oriented to time and place and like the context of it, that matters to me. And I think if you just have that conversation with your kids, you can. But if your kids have never seen a woman in a bra before, then like, okay, cover your eyes. Like, this lady needs privacy. And that's usually how we've approached it with our kids, is like, she's changing, she needs privacy, close your eyes. Like,
that's what I'm saying though, is I just don't want to have those conversations watching the Super Bowl with my kid. I just want to be able to enjoy the Super Bowl.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know, I get that. But to me, like, the Super Bowl is a microcosm of the world when it comes to the ads. And like, you're just, if you're going to be parenting these things in your life, you got to be prepared to parent them now, or just abstain from watching it.
Are you going to watch, like, so you'll just have it on the whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah, we will too.
Well, I mean, not for the Super Bowl. I mean, not for these halftime show.
Yeah, but same. We'll have it on the whole time. I'll watch halftime show. Kids will go play downstairs, come back up.
Yeah.
Have some more nachos. I'm super excited.
Yeah, there's occasionally where like commercials, I can't think of a specific one from last year off the top of my head, where our kids will be like, Mom, what was that? And I'll be like, some people were raised different than us. Some people need Jesus. Like, then you have to have those conversations. But for me, and I'm this freak on this podcast, we have this conversation all the time. So sorry, guys. But like, your kids are going to encounter this thing eventually. It's better that they encounter it right next to you, where you can explain, some people are different from us, some people do things differently, Jesus loves them just the same, this is how we do it in our family.
Love it. I will say one last thing before we move to sports betting and sports betting, how crazy that has kind of gotten.
Yeah.
I have hope still for commercials in the Super Bowl especially. Yeah, I thought the 2 years ago they were awful. Last year, 8 out of 10. And so I'm hoping that this year they just, I just want to laugh. I just want them to be funny. And if they're funny, they're memorable. So give me some, I'm looking at Doritos and Coke, and I have high expectations.
Absolutely. And we've been saying, like, we're so back. So I feel like the culture has shifted a bit away from those things, like that overly sexual things and stuff like that. I'm hopeful as well.
Yeah. I'm also hoping that what's the Christian ad company that just, they do
the Jesus ads.
Yeah, what are those called?
I don't remember, but it's like it just directs you to Jesus.
He loves you or something. That, I have high hopes for that one.
Yeah,
because last year was a little weird. This year I hope it's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, sports betting. So, couple things.
Yeah,
I love sports.
You do?
I do. Brand, I love sports. I have a sports show. It is not for kids. Not because of me, but I do it with my two brothers, and we do talk about sports betting on there sometimes. I do enjoy sports betting. I have a wife who makes sure that she does all the finances, so it can never become a problem. And you need to be tithing as Catholics. You just have to be very careful as Catholics with getting into any of that kind of stuff. I have a huge complaint with how in your face sports betting has become. And this is someone who, like, I have done partnerships with sports companies, with sports betting companies, with what I do full time. And I do not advertise my stream for kids, parents can control what their kids are watching, what streamers they're watching. They can know all of this stuff. But when you're just sitting down to watch any of the, again, four major sports, baseball, hockey, basketball, and football, it is shoved in your face. They have segments before every single game where the announcer is telling you what their favorite bets are. And hockey and baseball in particular, they have the odds on the screen most of the game. Most of the game, this person to score a goal plus 1,000, this person to score a goal plus 200. Mm-hmm. And they're keeping track, and every ad you're seeing throughout these are sports betting ads. And so here we are in a culture where when I was growing up, you had to have an illegal bookie to sports bet. You had to maybe the odds were in the paper, like what the spreads were in the paper. But like who, what kid is reading that?
Yeah.
And now like my children, they don't necessarily understand what any of the odds mean. But they know for sure, I mean, they know what sports betting is, and they know that it's something you can do, and it has become very normalized because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think it's a huge problem. And I think if you're a parent, you're doing a huge disservice by not talking about it with your kids, talking about the destruction that it can cause, talking about how it shouldn't just be something that you like do every single day from the time that you're 21.
Yeah.
And so, what are your thoughts?
Well, so one of the weirdest things that I had, another parent at our Catholic school when my kid was in eighth grade was telling me that her son had gotten in trouble with his cell phone. It wasn't that he had, you know, Snapchat or whatever, because he was allowed to have those things. Instead, he had downloaded a sports betting app, and he and his cousin had lied about their age and were sports betting somehow on their phones in the said summer between seventh and eighth grade. So they had gotten their phones taken away for that. That's one of those things that parents think to themselves that they're not going to have to deal with.
Yeah. Like,
most parents that I talk to think my kid is good. They follow the rules, blah, blah, blah. And most kids are. They really are. But kids are going to take risks. They're going to break rules. It is what it is. And this is something you need to be aware of existing, and that it is possible for your kid to get on there. Like, even if you think you've got things set up, even if you think you're paying attention, you need to be checking the cell phone. You need to be getting a safety phone. You need to be taking the phone away at night. Like, 'cause sports gambling is a thing that's literal children are engaging in, which would have surprised me if you had told me that 2 years ago.
Yep. And so a couple of things here, right? It's become legal in most states. So you're seeing the advertising all over the place. So they understand what it is. Most of the apps that you can download legally in America are, you can't do it anymore if you're not actually of age. Yeah. You have to take a picture of your driver's license, send your social security number. I mean, there's all kinds of regulations. However, there are hundreds of websites where you can lie and start doing it at any age.
Yeah,
and that's not just sports betting. It's online casinos, blackjack, slots, you name it. I know this wasn't part of our episode, but there are a lot of Twitch streamers who started out as video game Twitch streamers who have become gambling Twitch streamers, and they are spinning real money slots, what usually paid for by the company that is sponsoring them. Mm-hmm. And kids are watching them win $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 and thinking, oh my gosh, I can win this too.
Yeah.
And they're going online and becoming, you know, gambling addicts before they're 18 years old.
Yeah.
And so as parents, like, it's just time to have, if you're not already having that conversation with your kids about what it is, how to be safe, all of the things that can come with sports betting, then you're doing a disservice to your kids.
Yeah. I just want to give you some numbers because I look them up, and goodness knows they shouldn't be wasted, because it feels like in the NFL games, you're seeing it in every single ad. And one of the things I thought was interesting is the NFL has limited gambling ads to 6 ads per game, one before, one after, and one in each quarter, which is a total of 5% of the advertising that's on television during an NFL game. For every 1 gambling ad, there are 38 pharmaceutical ads and 4 times as many telecommunications ads. So that'll be the statistics you see online that your kids are going to come to you with and be like, it's really not that bad. Like, it's just not that bad. But that's not the case. Like, those are, I mean, it's not untrue. Those are true things. The question is, like, is the before the game, thing is the guys picking, doing the picks, right?
Yeah.
And the name of the sports betting app that's doing it is on the screen. They're taking the screen from this size to this size, and on this over here is the odds and everything.
Yep.
And this is only the NFL that has those limitations. Other sports do not have them. And when we're looking at how much of a problem this is, people are maybe underestimating how big of an issue this has become. So 1% of American adults have a severe gambling problem, like serious issues with gambling. 2-3% have what we call a moderate problem. And by that, I mean like 30% of sports gamblers who are in that 1% severe gambling problem have gambling-related debt. Yep. Like, they're not using their money. They're borrowing money to do this. If you listen to like Dave Ramsey or something like that, regularly, once a day, they'll have a caller that's like, my husband put us in debt, didn't know he was doing this. And then in addition to that, 25% of those, of the 1%, have been unable to pay bills due to gambling debt. So that's just like an astronomical difference. And we can see where we're going by looking at the UK, because the UK has had this for a lot longer than the United States has. They're at the point where, like, you know, 20% of the ads in the UK are for gambling, sports gambling. 2.5% of the population there, that's more than double in the United States, is listed as having severe gambling problem. And it's gotten to the point that 10.5% of the population in the UK says that they have been financially affected by someone else's gambling problem.
Wow.
A husband, a father. I'm putting it in male terms, but, you know, I think I've read somewhere that 30% of women now are participating.
It's definitely both.
Yeah. So it's a real huge problem, and it's causing rifts in families. Like, gambling, we kind of think of that as being a lesser sin, because, you know, if you're doing it, you can think of the like the Knights of Columbus raffle is technically gambling. Yeah,
the bingo church events they do all,
like,
the time.
And we sort of, we have this like in our head, when does it become a problem? Is it when it's, when you stop tithing because of it? Is it when you can't pay your bills because of it? Is it when you've lost money that your kids needed to play soccer? Like, that's really a question that you need to have between you and your spiritual advisor, you and your spouse. But it's such a slippery slope, and it's so easy to get in there.
Yeah. I would say just having conversations with your kids about the dangers of it, the way you would about nicotine and smoking or drinking.
Pornography.
Yeah. Like, you have these conversations with your kids because they're already aware that it's a thing, even if you don't want them to be, because it's just absolutely everywhere. Mm-hmm. Is just really important. Another thing I think that we need to be careful of, like, it has become so ingrained in our culture that people talk about it in front of kids all the time. Mm-hmm. Or they'll root for it. So I've got a friend who, like, the family will come over sometimes and we'll watch the game, and his kid knows what his bets are. He's cheering for his bets. And I'm like, oh my gosh, man, like, don't do that. You know, like it's something, like, so just be careful about, like, who you're cheering for and what you're saying in front of your kids, because they're watching. Mm-hmm. Right? They'll pick up the habits that their parents have. And so I just think educating them, like, I tell my kids all the time, like, if you end up sports betting someday, you will lose.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to lose. Like, very rarely does someone win, and win frequently. And so don't buy all these ads that you're seeing where you're getting all this free stuff. If you deposit this, you get this. It can just be, it's just not good for kids to see all the time.
I think you're right. Kids don't need to be seeing this all the time. And it is such a constant, ubiquitous part of our culture now.
I do think it's going to change. I will say, I do, like, you look now, like, there, you can't advertise for nicotine. Is that true? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a nicotine commercial or a cigar years. Commercial in a long time. I do think that is the direction it's going to go in the next 5 to 10 years on TV.
Yeah.
It'll still be everywhere else. But I do think that's what probably should happen. Mm-hmm. It should be individual partnership based rather than just blast it on every single TV all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just hope, as someone who sometimes enjoys it and loves sports, mm-hmm. I just don't want to see it on the screen at all times. It's always in your face.
Yeah, it goes from being like a small, like, this is why we can't have nice things, basically. Like, you know, I bet 10 cents at a time when I bet things. Like, I'm just really very wimpy with those kinds of things. Or I like a good fantasy football league, that kind of thing. But it's gotten out of hand. And at this point, I would be among the people who'd be like, that's fine, let's just get rid of it completely. Because it's not something that, it doesn't add any value to my life. And I think that it has caused irreparable damage to so many families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have the conversation with your kids. Let us know who you have winning the Super Bowl.
In your heart,
just a pick. Why does it always have to be gambling?
Who do you think is going to win?
And it won't be the Bears.
Who are you rooting for? Or who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
I think the Rams or the Bills will win it. And I'm going to, if you make me pick one, I'll say I think the Rams win.
I've got the Seahawks, and you want to know why?
Why?
Because the last time that we got a new pope, the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl and won. That was with Francis, and before that with Benedict, they were in the Super Bowl but lost.
Wow.
So I think it's definitely the Seahawks going to the Super Bowl, and I've got them winning. Because
proof that God cares about sports.
Maybe.
The Bears had a miraculous comeback against the Packers on the same day that the Bulls and the Blackhawks won, and the Cubs got Alex Bregman. Mm. all that happened in one day. The last time the three of those teams won was like in the 90s.
I know.
On the same day, which
that's
is crazy.
That's because they're putting holy water in the end zones. That's what IU did as well.
Yeah, Indiana put holy water in the end zones. Look at the church just getting in there and evangelizing
Heisman
the culture.
Trophy winner. We got
loves
it
the
all.
Lord. Loves the CJ Lord. Stroud loves the Lord. He's playing for the Texans right now.
Yeah. The Heisman Trophy went to a Newman Center this year.
That's crazy.
He took it to the Newman Center with him.
Is he Catholic?
Yes.
Oh, he's that's amazing. Catholic. I knew he was Christian. I knew he's Catholic. That's great.
He's openly Catholic. Very, very much so. And so is the coach.
Huge Mendoza fan.
Absolutely.
And where is he going to go? Vegas.
No.
Likely Vegas. Likely Vegas. Hey, evangelize Vegas, baby. Let's go. Man. This is perfect.
There is so much in the culture that we have to deal with as parents.
I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is this for kids?